Hey guys, Lance Erline here. We're Houston. We're the city of champions. How about I give you another champion? If you suffered an injury in an accident and would like a free case review, call the super team at Daspit Law Firm. They're champions. Free consultations are available 24/7. Dial 713-CALL-NOW. That's 713-CALL-NOW and DaspitLaw.com.
It's John and Lance.
What in the hell is wrong with him?
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Good Tuesday morning, everybody. John and Lance, along with Dell, here with you for the next 3 hours on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Nine in a row now. Nine in a row for our Houston Rockets. They are, now, I will say this, they didn't play great. They just didn't play very well at all. Fred VanVleet, wow. That might have been his worst game of the season. He was off. He was just off. After a tremendous game the day before, Fred VanVleet just couldn't hit the side of a couldn't hit the ocean, throwing it in from a boat. So that was okay. And Jalen was off to begin with. And we'll hear from Ime talking about that as well in just a little bit here. The 110-92 is not a good indicator of how that game really went. Early on, Portland was dominant. Portland dominated. The only one who showed up to play early on, starting center, Jock Landale. He had 15 in the first quarter. The guys were going, they were like, I don't know, this has to be a record for him. Like, doesn't it? Because what's his career high is only like 9 or whatever it is, whatever points it is. And he's got 15 in the first quarter. He didn't do anything in the second half, really. But and he talked about it after the game with Vanessa that, oh, yeah, it was really good early on, not so much later. But the Rockets survived, and these are the kind of games that you got to win. And here they are, you know, sitting right there. And you know, I know Draymond, he don't care about the Rockets. He does not care about the Rockets. He should start caring about the Rockets because they're a half a game behind him. Now, they play April 4th. They've both got four games until they meet. Golden State has got, here's who Golden State has got as we head down the stretch here. They're at Miami tonight. They've got five games. The Rockets have four. At Miami, at Orlando, at Charlotte, at San Antonio. Then they've got Dallas at home on the second. Then they got to come back down here to Texas. That's a crappy schedule. Although Orlando is playing better this year. Charlotte, San Antonio, Wemby's out. Wemby's got a little nagging injury. I don't know if he'll be back by Sunday. But they've got those five games. They've got Dallas at home, who's up and down. Miami at Miami. We should be tied at the end of tonight. At the end of tonight, we should be tied. And if not, your team sucks, Del. Okay? Congratulations. If you don't beat Golden State, you're terrible. So we've got that. And then Thursday, April 4th, the Rockets at the Rockets. That's going to be a big one. I don't know that we've had – when was the last big game we've had at Toyota Center? Honestly.
I guess maybe when Houston played A&M.
That's
probably the biggest game.
Well, what about the Rockets' biggest game?
Oh. Golly. I mean, a real big game.
Real big game that mattered.
I mean, it's been 3-4 years.
I know.
Yeah. Yeah, it's been a long time, and this matters. I mean, you know, they were about 3, 3.5. We were done. Everyone's like, hey, they're not catching them. This is a very real chance. It took a win streak like this to do it, but they didn't have their schedule was fairly light, and they've handled it. And they've handled it on the road, too. Like, they've done everything that they weren't doing early in the year. When they had a lighter schedule, they would do okay, and then they'd lose games they weren't supposed to. They'd lose games on the road, but they'd win at home. Now they're playing complete basketball. And against lesser teams, they're finishing them. They're doing what they're supposed to do to them. And this is really this is such a great run, no matter how it works out, because the momentum it's going to build for you into next season, you know, cannot be understated. This team, more and more the players know who they are on the team and they've clearly bought into Ime Udoka. This team would have already quit. This team, the quit factor would have been so strong for this team by midseason. Everyone would have been out for their own stuff. And this is
especially losing the guys that they've lost.
Everybody you hear talk now, though. Yeah. Everybody you hear talk. Jalen's talking about the playoff chase, and earlier this season, Alpi was talking about this is what he likes. He likes this is the kind of basketball he likes, and he likes to be coached hard and just. You know, it's kind of infuriating to think that there were people out there still battling. I know it's just a small group of people, but that anyone would think that you stick it out with Silas because you think he just doesn't have, it's just poor. Nothing against Steven Silas, but you're not a good coach either. You got to do what you're supposed to do with the guys you have. I didn't say he was loaded up with talent, but he did nothing to make these players accountable.
No.
He did nothing to coach to get them to buy into culture.
Now forget.
He got run over. This team needed a stern hand.
Even, and forget, yeah, well, culture, but just teaching them basketball. I mean,
yeah.
I mean, that, just that. They were, that was awful.
Well, it's an underdeveloped team. It's a young team. They need to learn basketball stuff.
So the Rockets, tomorrow at Oklahoma City. That won't be easy. That's for sure. Then Friday at Utah, Sunday, Dallas here. Then at Minnesota, that's a tough run right there. Oklahoma City, good team. Utah, Matt. Dallas, good team. Minnesota, good team. At Minnesota. So the Rockets have a rougher road than although four of the games are on the road. It's back basically. It's Golden State basically has a six-game road trip. Because right after they're here in San Antonio, they've got to fly back home to play Dallas and then fly back to Houston. I mean, that's just like it's a nonstop trip. One game at home is not – I know you're playing at home in front of your crowd, but it's like you're still on the road because you don't even have time. You don't even get a – you get up one night to sleep in your bed. And that's a terrible schedule for them. But this ain't easy either. So it'll be interesting to see where these two teams are. Just a half game separate them. And if Miami can win tonight, they'll be tied with four games each heading into that game April 4th. So that'll be fun. It's so much more fun to watch this team.
Oh, it's night and day.
Portland is really, really bad. And
there's a few really bad teams in this league right now.
I don't think, you tell me, can you trust draft analysts now in your life?
Football or basketball?
It doesn't matter. I'm just saying draft analysts.
I mean, they're hit or miss. They're definitely hit or miss.
Scoot Henderson. Oh, my God. What a player.
Well, a young point guard on a bad basketball team is going to struggle. I don't know what he'll be in a couple of years, but what is he, 19? And
well, he was going to come in and change the league, remember?
Well, that's
heard that from draft analysts.
He's playing the most difficult position to transition to,
particularly
for a young player, and on a bad basketball team, without a lot of experience, he doesn't have a lot. Anybody who thought he was going to change Portland immediately.
Yeah.
Ain't been paying attention.
You didn't hear that from
draft analyst.
Not from football
like
draft
Lance?
Analysts. We knew.
Like him.
No, we knew that
Scoot Henderson. Is he a draft analyst?
No, we
did draft analysts say this?
We knew that Scoot Henderson was going to do this stuff. The football side did. Because we're used to this.
The football side of the NBA draft knew
basketball
that.
Basketball side gets involved in hyperbole. Football side is more.
Because the football side hadn't continued to use the word generational about quarterbacks?
Yeah.
No, not.
How's that?
Not the smart ones.
All right.
New media. Not the traditional draft media analysts like me and Daniel Jeremiah.
Yeah, Trevor Lawrence?
We don't call people generational.
Generational.
So here's something. Oh, you mean that guy who had the most incredible playoff win in the history of football?
Okay. Okay. Yeah, that one playoff win?
No, the guy who blew a winner-take-all game it was a winner-take-all for his team against Tennessee. That guy.
Yeah, final that game guy. Of the year. How's that guy working out for you? Yeah. You had him as generational. Congratulations.
How's football draft analyst catching it over Scoot Henderson? What did we
just,
do?
It's just your whole profession.
Because you guys are all the same.
No one can trust you.
You're all the same.
It's all I see. It's all I see is dumpster fires on your mock drafts. That's all I see.
No, I'm the one who starts everything up. By the way, it ain't going to be Jaden Daniels, too.
Oh, everybody's saying that now. Everybody is saying that now. I don't believe it. I know. Well, that's the hot rumor.
JJ McCarthy, he's... So Twitter likes to find somebody that they're angry with, that they hate.
What's his name? Andy Peters? No.
Adam Peters?
Adam Peters.
Yeah, who came from the school of Trey Lance, the school of Jimmy Garoppolo. I don't know if he was there when they grabbed Garoppolo. I think they were. Anyway, it does make some sense that Cliff Kingsbury might take a look at him. Depending on what Cliff. I would imagine Cliff has some say-so on the quarterback.
I love this. It's going to be J.J. McCarthy. And then come draft day, Jane Daniels.
No, Drake May could still be it, though. Jane Daniels is not a consensus, I don't think, with NFL teams.
It doesn't matter what the consensus is, it's now. Who Washington's going to take.
I'm the one who started the Jaden Daniels to two. No one else had that. Then everyone else follows, and now I'm about to flip the script again and watch everyone go scurrying like rats.
It's out there. All over the interwebs yesterday it was, the Commanders are taking J.J.
Tom Pelissero was out in front of that. Wasn't he the guy?
Who was?
Tom Pelissero went on NFL Network and said, that's
the deal. But it was all over.
It became a thing.
One person has it, and then that's why everyone runs with it. This is why the draft stuff, you can't trust narratives. I made these idiots switch up. They're Drake Mays.
We can't trust. No, I made you switch up your Drake May.
No, you did nothing.
Yes, I did.
I'm the one that told you. You guys didn't even know who Jaden Daniels was.
What?
And I kept telling you how good he is.
I watched him play at Arizona
State.
Another
Heisman Trophy winner from LSU. You're not even on.
Stop it.
Didn't even know when he was a freshman at Arizona State.
Yeah, I knew him.
He's 140 pounds of fury.
But why would Washington blow smoke?
They're not blowing smoke. It's just people. Well, they can do whatever. So what happened was, here's the nexus of this. Who had the report first? They said they spoke to people around the league, believed that
Tom Pelissero,
J.J. McCarthy is going to be the second pick. Now, they don't know. No one knows. The only thing that's going on right now is one person may have talked to just a single GM or maybe two, and they probably said, this is how it goes. I've had these conversations where it goes like this. I'll tell you who the guy you better watch is, J.J. McCarthy. He's played in a pro-style offense. He's the kind of guy that Cliff likes these guys, because Cliff does like guys who are mobile. Cliff likes mobile players. And J.J. McCarthy's mobile.
Yeah, but not as much as Jaden.
But Jaden's also skinny. Jaden also runs recklessly. Jaden's also much older. J.J. McCarthy is a younger guy. Like, I could see where somebody says, hey,
does that matter at quarterback? Not really.
No. But it gives you longer. It means that there's more learning to be done.
Well,
Jaden has played 5 years, and so a lot of times the thought on him and Bo Nix is that this is who they're going to be.
JJ's played for 3 full years already.
Yeah, but he's 21.
No,
he still has some football to learn. That's two fewer years than those guys played, and they were starters all 5 years. Bo Nix and
Jaden. So you see what he is. You mean the Heisman Trophy winner?
But what I'm telling you is, NFL people love J.J. McCarthy. I'm telling you, there is a huge disconnect between what the public thinks. NFL teams love J.J. McCarthy. Mm. The guy that's going to fall, Drake is going to fall, Bo Nix is going to fall, Penix is going to rise, because it's only going to take one. The Raiders could be looking at Penix, actually, but I don't know where the Raiders would draft him. I can't see middle of the first where Daniel Jeremiah has him. But all that happens is just one or two people just talk to somebody and say, you know, the guy I think they'll draft is J.J. McCarthy. That would make the most sense to me. And that's just an opinion. That's all. But then it turns into, it's just wild, you know, overcorrections on everything. Because that's how we are as a society anyway. Everything's an overcorrection. The same thing happens with these mock drafts. But I actually could see J.J. McCarthy, a guy that you feel like, okay, he's played in a pro-style offense. Now I'm going to teach him how to run air raid. If you're Cliff, and Cliff actually doesn't run pure air raid anymore anyway, because I think he realizes that doesn't really play in the NFL. But regardless, it's going to be a fun draft from the standpoint of intrigue, because beside number one, I don't know what's going to happen at two. I don't know what's going to happen at three. I don't know who the top wide receiver is going to be. You're going to have to watch the draft on NFL Plus. Get all of your NFL draft analysis pick by pick on NFL Plus, where I will be with Bucky Brooks and Mike Yam.
And we'll be NFL talking about Plus every now. Pick.
I
got to pay extra for NFL Plus to watch you.
It is worth that,
because the draft won't be anywhere else, right, though? It's going to be so hard to find the NFL draft.
Yeah, the NFL Plus.
Are you going to be in your seat on time for NFL Plus?
Are there going to be headphones there for you?
Well, they supply headphones. Why don't they supply my earpieces.
Every day you walk in here, Look around, Dell. Like that John Travolta meme, looking around, going, "Where are my headphones?
Wait, he still doesn't. He doesn't have any today.
I'm having to listen through the door.
He does not have headphones.
Doesn't work. My earpiece.
He's hearing you through with the door open.
Yeah, leave the door open all day.
You're embarrassing. Do I have to go? I got to grab some out of the remote box for you.
Somebody stole the broken headphones that were in here. Maybe somebody threw them out.
No, either the Spanish station stole them. Or Joe George stole
them. Wow.
Well, they
wow,
we're breaking it here.
Just
breaking it here.
It's one or two, one or two people.
Wow.
Either
man.
Joe George took it for a quote-unquote remote.
But you picked the Spanish station first.
Who stole your bike, Gilbert? Wow.
Well, there's another whole radio station here that could use headphones.
And you think they don't have their own?
I was kidding. They don't use it. These are they're not even really what you're supposed to use. They're for broadcast. They're for remote broadcast. What station would do that?
Wow.
He's got his headphones on.
How about you just have any headphones?
Yeah, any headphones would be great.
I can't hear you.
How about if you talk about QC Kinetics?
I can't do that. QC Kinetics, that's what my wife, I brought my wife over to use, and we're really excited about her having a chance to treat a knee condition that was a very serious knee issue. It was going to ruin her opportunity to run marathon. She ran the Boston Marathon on a bone-on-bone knee issue, and it was she finished Boston Marathon. She's tough like that, but, you know, lost like 40 minutes on her time. It was very, very difficult, but she had qualified when the knee was better, and then COVID knocked her out for 2 years where she couldn't, you know, race in Boston because of, you know, the COVID stuff, and then she finally got to run her Boston Marathon, and then, you know, she thought that was the end of it, wouldn't be able to run anymore. Once QC Kinetics started getting treatments, had to go through 5 sets of treatments for this very serious knee issue. And guess what? She ran Berlin Marathon, finished that, and she's looking at what her next ones are going to be. If you have chronic pain, QC Kinetics regenerates and restores damaged tissue. They are able to eliminate that inflammation, reduce the inflammation. And before you know it, you are going to be able to live a pain-free existence. That's what you want after all. It's QCKinetics.com. It's QCKinetics.com. 4 locations in the Houston area. QC Kinetics.
ESPN 97.5. You are listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, 720 ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Who is it a bad day for you?
Who is it a bad day for? For all of us.
Why?
The NFL with their rules.
With the hip drop?
Hip drop is so dumb. I agree 100%. Now guys are going to be running down the field and go, ooh, and lean into a tackle.
So,
and it's going to look like a hip drop.
So,
and they're going to, and now it's you're going to get 15 yards. Congratulations on your stupid league.
Hold on a second. Are we sure it's 15 yards?
Whatever it is.
Yeah, probably. Yeah,
it's a personal foul.
Personal foul.
It is personal foul. Okay, because one of the thing I initially saw was that it's less likely to be called on the field and more likely to be penalized, and because they think it's too hard to call on the field.
Yeah.
So we're not going to see a lot of flags on it. It's really going to be more it's really going to be more fines.
Have you guys seen what's going on in baseball this spring?
Well, yeah, where you see everyone's junk because of their pants?
No.
Oh.
I haven't been looking for that, but apparently.
Who watches spring baseball besides Niall?
Have you seen if your foot is in front of the bag, the runner is automatically safe?
Yeah. This is a dumb. Okay.
Oh, it's happening.
So
it's been called multiple times this spring.
But all you have to do is slide your foot up against the bag. But I know the idea is we got a bigger bag. You should be able to put your foot squarely on it. You want to eliminate anything having to do with ghost outs on double plays and whatever.
No, no, no. That's not it. When a ball is coming, no, at second base or home plate, when the catcher's waiting for the ball, if his foot happens to be in front of the base,
what about blocking.
Yeah. Listen, it's stupid. It's the runner is 3 feet. You tag him 3 feet, but if your foot is in front of the base, the runner's safe.
So you know that they had this rule in place already.
I know, but they didn't enforce it. But now they're enforcing it stupidly. It's ridiculous right
now.
Well,
they're trying to keep guys from getting their legs torn up and from creating collisions at home plate unnecessarily.
This has nothing. If you tag him 3 feet in front of the base, but you're standing in the baseline, he's safe.
I gotta say, blocking the plate always bothered me. Like, that was such an arbitrary thing you would allow for a catcher to block the plate.
But he wasn't, and never was he allowed to block the plate without the ball. Never.
Oh, but it happened all the time.
Yeah, but you could get called for. Well, if you get bowled over at the plate, it's on you, especially if the ball wasn't even there yet. But that was fine. This is getting bordering on ridiculous. Wait till it's called in an Astros game. You're going to be like, it's been called this spring. If you haven't seen it, it's ridiculous.
I want to see if they call it in a game, because if it's something that has no bearing on a play, I don't see how you could call it.
Oh, you mean like some of the. Oh, by the way, your league is not as stupid as I thought, but you're going to be able to challenge late hits on the quarterback? Hits on the quarterback now? Mm-hmm. Which is not right.
Ahead of the game.
Is it a challenge or the replay assistant?
Replay
can do it. You can't do it.
No.
The
ref can do it. Yeah, you can. Yeah, not challenge it, but you can review it, which is thank you. Although it's just going to make it longer and they're going to take forever. Mm-hmm. Just look at
you have something
how come
to do?
We can see it right away and go,
well,
oh, yeah.
Well, the replay assistant will handle it, not the refs on the field. I thought the replay assistant will look down and go, okay, that's not.
Even still, it'll take them forever.
You have something to do on a Sunday?
Yeah.
Like what? Watch more football?
Yeah.
Okay, then what do you care if it takes longer?
No, but I can't. It makes me nuts. Aww. It makes me nuts. No, it makes everybody nuts, except you're stupid.
It makes you nuts that they're going to get something right?
No, it makes me nuts that it takes so long. When we see it on a replay right away, take 10 minutes to decide.
It hasn't even happened yet. You haven't even suffered a long delay.
I've been suffering for years now with this
You're already previewing a delay you haven't even had to suffer yet.
Football is, of all the sports, football's pretty much on time. Like, they don't really deviate that much because the next game up. So football, when you look at total length of play, they actually are pretty standard. And you've got baseball that goes 4 hours. What are you crying about?
No, not anymore. Not with a pitch clock. Not with guys getting called. Too much time.
They had to change the entire sport.
They did.
So that they could keep games from going 4.5 hours. You can deal with one replay.
Well, you mean like we put in a play clock?
Yeah.
They
had to put in a play clock for every play pitch-wise. No,
right. That's like, right. They did. And you know what?
Yeah, the game's going too long. Yeah, baseball was too long, frankly.
Yeah, it was. And now it's better.
It's not going to hurt you. Listen to this. Here it is. The result will be a 15-yard penalty if flagged in games on the hip drop. But Troy Vincent, the NFL's executive vice president of football operations, which, by the way, he's been on both sides, the NFLPA, and now he's on the NFL side. He implied last week that it is likely to be enforced similar to use of helmet rule, which typically leads to warning letters and fines in the week after a game rather than flags. This is a big to-do and nothing. They're probably not going to flag it. It's just going to be a bunch of fines, which aren't going to hurt you at all.
I'm going to tell you this. It's going to be called. It's going to be called in a game by a referee, and it's going to be called at a time you're like, oh, my gosh, can you believe? And, oh, by the way, while it's no big deal to you, the fines that were imposed last year on players for hits, especially, you're like, really? That was a finable hit?
I know you don't care
because it's not your
it
money.
It doesn't hurt you either.
But it doesn't hurt me either. But it's gotten ridiculous. The number of fines, go look up, you can find a player's fines in the NFL. It's ridiculous. And I want to know what your league is doing with all that money, too, by the way.
They're transparent with it. You want an investigation?
Yeah.
They're transparent with it.
All right.
Now let's do J.J. Watt.
Okay. Hold on a second.
Oh, yeah. Now you don't want to do J.J. Watt's hurricane, but you'll worry about my league and what they're doing with their money.
No. Okay. Which is more?
By the way, that was a
more
joke.
Shohei Ohtani
that was
bets
a joke
on baseball.
Based on J.J., what the internet has said about J.J., it was a joke. I was leaning into I have to explain this, so people from Wisconsin don't come after me. See, that was so what that was is it was a joke based upon comments that people made previously regarding JJ and the money, which we think is absolutely.
But that's not what's
going to
be
no
picked
merit.
From you. That's
However,
not,
yeah. If
you, that's not can, what's going to be picked on Twitter for you, what you said. By the way, JJ's going to be in taste great, less filling commercials.
Well, JJ's out here complaining about a rule that doesn't even affect him. He was tweeting about, oh,
he loves his
belts
game.
Belts and flag. Can we bring back chop blocks since he's
it's
so interested
not gonna
in
be, it's can, not gonna
he,
be.
He would love to bring chop blocks back.
No.
Oh,
no.
Well, on offensive
no,
line.
No, let's bring back chop blocks to defenders. Since we're so worried about how the game is devolving into flag football, let's bring back chop blocks on defensive linemen.
You anti-JJ.
Oh, all of a sudden.
Who's anti-JJ?
We don't like that.
Only you.
Oh,
only you,
sudden.
Just
Dale's
like your Alpie.
Dale's got a point. Does JJ care if a running back is out or a quarterback? No. Does he care if a defensive lineman gets his knee taken out? Yes.
Oh,
it just
goodness.
Depends on whose lower leg injury it is.
Yeah.
City icons. That's all Dell goes after.
Since we're so concerned about this game devolving, let's bring back things that make it less safe for defensive linemen.
Mm. Yeah.
Chop blocks.
Okay.
And diving at their knees when
oh
they're not looking.
God.
We're just playing football, right? Let's play football.
Dell had two players hurt because of hip drop.
Oh,
he's
yeah.
Little, he's a little.
Yeah, that's why. That's why he's saucy.
Nah, I mean, I watched Kenyon Drake, a former, I guess he's still a running back, say, thank God they're doing this. And JJ's, oh, flag football and belts. Stop it. If job blocks came back, he would be out there saying, what are we doing?
That's true.
All right.
Now, once again, you're a voice of reason. This is why my league always turns to you what is Dell
turn
doing?
To me. You get
know.
To the real opinion.
My league doesn't.
The biggest thing your league did
all
for
right.
me.
UFL
no.
sycophant.
I can't get away from the NFL. I love it so much. When they put in racism in their end zones, I was like, I'm all in.
Yeah, see, we did it.
Yeah.
We
see? I was away. I was going, you know what, the NFL is kind of unfair to Kaepernick.
We did it.
And then they put in racism
what
in
else
the end zones.
We do? Lift every voice.
They played the black national anthem
it's
at
Super
a game.
Bowls.
Oh, they do that.
That's right, John.
I'm all in on the NFL.
What does your UFL do? What does your XFL do that doesn't exist anymore? We play Lift Every Voice. We end racism in the end zones. What do you do?
We had P.J. Walker as our quarterback. That's what we did.
Okay. And you have a weird kickoff.
That's right. All right. Your team couldn't even have Warren Moon here
You have
forever.
A weird kickoff
okay.
that looks like something from Squid Game.
No, no.
Where
that's what you should adopt
shooting.
It. It's actually what you should adopt if you want to know
We're
the truth.
We're looking at it.
Yeah, I know you're looking at it, too. Because you know why? Innovative. My league. Innovative. Yours.
Your league's defunct.
Okay. Innovative. The word I use for your league is bankrupt.
Okay. No. No, no, no. It's COVID
defunct.
Killed us. COVID killed
us.
Bankrupt. Defunct.
Okay. Let's blame COVID.
Merge.
Foreign countries.
Vince McMahon is
foreign
your boss.
Countries.
You're blaming China for the
you
end
know
of the
what?
XFL?
It might have been an NFL conspiracy trying to get rid
folks,
of the XFL.
The China virus killed the XFL.
That's exactly what happened. Okay, and the NFL might have been behind it. We don't know.
You think Roger is behind COVID-19?
To get rid of the XFL.
The NFL was not behind. COVID was not a massive conspiracy
yes.
gone amok to get rid of the XFL.
It could have been. You don't know. You don't
Man,
know.
You want to talk about carpet bombing an area a million miles long to knock out this one 800 square foot target.
That's right. You're damn right. That's how afraid.
Not
that's how afraid the
no
league was
afraid of
the Roughnecks. That's how afraid they were. And listen, I'm going today. Today, I'm going to bring, we're going to Wildcat. We're going to play in a golf tournament for the Touchdown Club golf tournament. It's today. And I'm going to be playing with the guys from Artisan Grange. I'm going to be playing with Canstead and Dublin. That's right. I call them. Chase and Wayne, they're Canstead and Dublin, and I'm bringing out all kinds of products. So if you're going out there, ask me, and we will put out, you can grab whatever you want. Okay, do you like, I don't know, what taste do you like in your dip? Okay, is it citrus? Is it dark fired? Is it wintergreen? Is it tobacco? You like the tobacco flavor? Whatever it is that you like in your dip. They probably have it, and more than likely have it. They've got just a wide variety. If you go to 975dip.com, you're going to see all the different flavors that they have. And you can choose whichever one fits your need. But it's clean, okay? It's not dirty. It doesn't yellow your teeth. It doesn't affect – it's not brown, and your teeth are got all this tobacco in between them and gross, and you're losing your teeth and your jaw. Listen, it's different. It's hemp in a pouch made of hemp with CBD oil. CBD American Shaman is carrying it as well. That's how much they like the product. So you're looking for the best way to get out of that dip and into something that's a lot safer with CBD oil. 975dip.com, 975dip.com.
ESPN 97.5. You're back in the Veritex Community Bank Studios with John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Yeah, Baltimore had a bridge that got hit by a boat. Wow, it collapsed. Wow.
I mean, a
Look
bridge.
A bridge collapsed. Wow.
You don't just rebuild a bridge in like a week.
No, that thing is going to, you want to talk about traffic being, wow, you can't get from. I think there are multiple, is that between, that's between Washington and Baltimore? That is going to be a, wow, that thing, the whole thing fell.
You see what the bridge, somebody who hated the national anthem, it's the Francis Scott Key Bridge.
Somebody hated
the national anthem.
It was the UT football team.
No, that was old, and that's the Texas, Longhorn fight song, it's back.
Well, I've been working on the railroad, that one.
I've been working on
the rail. They hate that song? Okay.
Just for a little bit.
Yeah. Now everything's fine. Remember?
Yeah.
And now we know. Well, no, actually, we still don't know what bathroom to go to.
What?
That was in this country. Remember? We had no idea what bathroom anybody could go to.
We had to vote on it.
Different states. A state lost the NCAA tournament because they voted on what bathrooms.
Confused. If it says man, if I go, I go there. If it says gender neutral, it says one person bathroom. Is it locked? If not, I'll go in and I'll go one or two. Take your pick.
Wow.
If you want to go in this, if it says family bathroom, I go in because I have a family. I know that's not what it's made for, but at the airport, when I see family bathrooms, I think, this
perfect.
Is for me.
Perfect place to drop
I've
a
got
deuce.
A family. Oh, yeah. Are you kidding me?
That's gross. Do not go in the airport. Everybody out there, don't go to the family bathroom in the airport because Lance might have been there. Okay.
How could anyone be confused about what bathroom to go to when we have PSAs like this?
I'm Lance Berkman. I've played professional baseball for 15 years, but my family is more important. My wife and I have four daughters. Proposition 1 would allow troubled men who claim to be women to enter women's bathrooms, showers, and locker rooms. It's better to prevent this danger by closing women's restrooms to men rather than waiting for a crime to happen.
Why are you doing this, Dolph?
Join me to stop the violation.
Because I don't want anyone to be confused.
Vote no on Proposition 1.
No one
no
is
men
confused.
In women's bathrooms.
He just
no
said we didn't know.
Why are you doing this to our baseball?
Yeah, that's our here. That's our friend.
This is,
he did it.
By the way, a lot of people agree with him now. While that was a really, really controversial thing that he put out there,
a lot of people are agreeing with him now.
I'm just trying to keep people from being confused.
You went through. Yeah, Dell's trying to. Dell, did we go through? Did you and I have to? John should have, but he didn't even read Twitter. We had to go through some issues last week.
Well,
do you really want to bring up these topics?
You fan the flames.
Because John doesn't care. He won't look at Twitter. If he gets in trouble and people try to cancel
were called the R word this morning. People are just getting to that thing.
Oh,
an R word on them.
Why are we being called the R word?
Because of your thoughts on Turkey.
When you made
I didn't
a
have
joke
thoughts
about,
on Turkey. I had thoughts on a player. Yeah. Well. Someone else called it a weird country, not me.
Oh, yeah. Well... No, didn't you say?
It was you.
Yeah.
You can go back and listen to the audio.
I'm pretty sure you did.
I did make a joke about the, I'm not going to repeat it, about the regime, but.
Well, whatever.
Three of us were caught.
Yes.
Nothing was racist, and everything was a joke, but all right.
Whatever. Okay, let's get back to sports. And where do you think Jaywan and Jamal were last night? Okay.
Working on free throws?
No.
Boxing out? Protecting the defensive boards?
Sitting next to Tillman.
I mean, maybe you should try to protect your defensive board a little bit better. Practice that or something.
Maybe, just maybe. Okay, so the Duke game is coming up. Duke is going to find it's a lot more difficult than anybody they played this season. It's going to be about staying out of foul. When Tugler went down, okay, we talked about this. They're going to have a real problem staying on the floor. Sedloth, great. He's been playing basketball for maybe 5 years, maybe, and he's just not there yet. You got to be smaller. If Roberts or Javier, You slipping my mind. Anyway, number five, Francis. They get in trouble. If they get in foul trouble. Did you see this stat? The two games in which UH was called for the most fouls, Xavier, 26, and A&M, 28. Lee Cassell, or Castle, was a ref in both. Combined fouls in the 85 minutes of those games, 101. 101 to go along with 130 free throws.
So everybody got called.
Hopefully, this guy will not be reffing this game. They have got, it really is going to depend. This game is really going to depend on how tight the refs call the game. It really, really is. Because U of H is going, you know, they're going to trap. They're going to double in the post. They're going to swipe at balls. They get more hands on balls than anybody in the country. But if they're calling a tight game, it's going to be a rough one. It's going to be really tough on U of H. Just like that game. You don't win when you've got four guys falling out of a game. You don't win.
No.
And they did it. They were able to do it. And Kelvin actually talked about that. He said, yeah, we went all the way down to Ryan Elvin. But you know what we do? You know what we do? When we run their yo-yos, he said, we were built for this. Them coming back after Garcia hit that three, and it was the same. Listen, they've been going through this all year. This happened against Iowa State. Baylor, they went overtime after they had a huge lead.
Yeah.
They blew a big lead. They blew a big lead. Was it Cincinnati? Or I think they blew a big lead at Cincinnati as well, in which Cincinnati tightened it up. Now they ended up cruising to a nice win. But this team, it doesn't matter how deep you go, they are ready. Everybody is ready. This is an amazing team. I love this basketball team. And here they go. They got the late game again on Friday night. I wonder how hard. That's something I'd love to ask Kelvin, is how hard it is to sit and wait all day long when all of these other games are going off. They were the second to last game of the whole weekend.
Yeah, I don't love that for them. It's great for TV purposes if you want to watch in the evening, which to me it's, I don't know. I don't mind watching the afternoon. It's not. I don't really care when it's on, but I'm kind of used to watching in the morning. But I mean, in the afternoon. But honestly, that does have to be a little bit difficult for them. It depends. On weekends, Cougars are mostly in the afternoon. The weekend games are mostly afternoon, and the weekday games are in the evening. So maybe it's not a big deal, but it could throw your body clock off some. Well, I don't know. This has been going on forever, so it can't be. Like, it's not an excuse or anything. It is just, I wonder what it is like, though.
Did you hear Dan Hurley?
Yes. We played it yesterday. Is this something new?
No. Well, how pissed he is that they're playing early on Thursday. Yeah.
I didn't hear that one.
Yeah, no. Yeah. They're trying to get us.
No, we played it.
Yeah. Was that the same thing?
Yeah. They're out to get us.
Just another thing how they're out to get it. This just shows there's a bias against
the
this.
The FAU, like, Northwestern 8-9. They're like, we see. We know what's going on.
Dude,
yeah, everybody's out to get you, Connecticut.
Honestly, this really feels like he's trying to. It doesn't even feel.
It's plausible. Us against the world.
It's not even plausible. Yeah, what he's doing almost feels comedic. Like, this is he being like, is he doing a joke or is this a bit? And he's just trying to create an us versus the world moment that he can use for his players, which, you know, I give him credit for that. That's always good to try to do that, I guess. But this isn't believable. Like, this isn't believable that the NCAA is out to get UConn. What does the NCAA care about UConn? Were people out to get Al Davis and the Raiders? Okay, maybe. Maybe there are some renegade spots. UConn's not a renegade spot. The NCAA is not out to get UConn. Would they have been out to get UNLV and Tark? Maybe. UConn and Danny Hurley? No. Your brother crapped his pants in the game. Big deal. He came back from and won a national championship after that. He's considered, you know, NCAA royalty, Danny. You don't have to keep trying to pretend like.
Nah, listen to him. Just listen to him. Maybe he has some points, Lance.
Okay, let's listen to these salient points.
And I don't know if you know this yet or not, but you do have the early tip on Thursday in Boston.
Okay, so it gives me a little bit more us against the world stuff that I could utilize because, you know, I do think that the, you know, the committee, you know, has tried to make this as difficult as they can on us to do it. You know, the Florida Atlantic, Northwestern, 8-9, obviously, you know, the Auburn, San Diego State and Illinois and what they look like with Iowa State. You know, we know what they you know, we know what they had in mind, and it just you know, it's more fuel on the fire.
Is his hope that they wouldn't play any good teams?
Who did he want to play? Go, can you please pick? Did you want to play
A&M? Did you want to play A&M in the
second round?
Yeah,
is that what you wanted?
I don't know.
Maybe he did.
They wanted Carl Sandburg High School.
He didn't want to have FAU there because, you know,
they
went deep last year and they had a lot of the
guys.
And
he beat them by 40.
But they aren't a good team this year.
Yeah.
They aren't a good team this year. So, yeah, his point was we got to face. Look, he didn't like his bracket draw. And he's not the only one that I heard people talking about. Ooh, for a number one team, having Iowa State there is not exactly the friendliest move as a two seed. But to act like we know what they're trying to do, we see it. Like, what? This is not a conspiracy. These things just happen. What are you talking about? Okay, that gives us some more us against the world. He tells you what he's doing.
Well, that's
right
what
there.
He's doing. That's what he's doing. All right, 746, ESPN 97.5.
Baltimore
and 92.5.
Bridge?
Yeah, that's awful.
This is crazy. People are driving on this bridge at the time. 20 people are missing right now.
Wow. Wow. The whole bridge collapsed. That's awful. Hey, yesterday, a listener to the show got a hold of me. And he said, I got real problems at my home. I need Aqueduct Plumbing. I said, just call them. You know what? Drop our names. He said they were there within an hour. They were, and they couldn't have been better. I'm telling you, he said, and you know what? I don't know that our name helps, whatever the case may be. It doesn't matter. Aqueduct Plumbing is going to be there. But I'm telling you, if you have any issues whatsoever, drop our names. Say, we're personal friends with John and Lance. Yeah, they're buddies. We play poker together or frisbee. We throw frisbees or something.
You don't play frisbee.
That's what you do. You play frisbee. I don't know what you do. And we watch tape on Idaho guards. So if you're somebody that has a plumbing issue, 281-488-6238. Call Aqueduct Plumbing and drop our name.
Yeah, it's that simple. Aqueduct Plumbing Company will, whether you drop it or not, they're still going to handle everything just as professionally as always. But you always want to mention you heard about it from us. If that does get you a benefit in price, if it does get you a benefit in how they prioritize it, whatever, just take the chance. But I do know this much, whether it's a small job or a big job, all of them feel big to you when you're having a plumbing issue. So we want you to have the name of a company that you can trust, and that is our good friends over at Aqueduct Plumbing Company. They will take care of you. It's aqueductplumbingcompany.com. That's aqueductplumbingcompany.com.
Loaded, ready to rule.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. You are listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's John and Lance.
Did you see this? Only the fifth time ever since they started seeding in 1989, 1995, 2009, 2019, and now this year, the fifth time that all eight top two seeds advanced to the Sweet 16.
That's it?
That's it.
Wow, there's been that many ones and twos upset, beaten in the second round?
A two or one gets upset every year except these 5 years.
So the last time it happened was, what, 2008, you said?
Wow, it doesn't seem like twos get upset that much. Well, in the second round they lose.
Yeah, but
yeah.
Is this, you said, when's the last one, 2008?
The last one was 2019.
Oh, 19, okay.
19, 2009, 95, and 89. Wow. That seems like maybe the second round they'll lose a lot more because twos don't lose that often in the first round. One's lose now lost twice, right? Purdue and Virginia.
Yeah.
So we got that. The Rockets win last night.
See if you can remember who beat them. You have Fairleigh Dickinson, got Purdue. Who was the team to beat Virginia? Dell, you remember, don't you? Rice.
No.
No. Who beat Virginia?
Houston Christian.
It's a team not that far from them as far as geography is concerned.
Who was
it? UMBC.
Oh, that's right. UMBC.
That's right.
Yeah. Right by that bridge.
Yeah.
I hope they're all safe. That was incredible. A ship hit the Baltimore Bridge, and there were no cars on the bridge at
the time.
Well,
there were.
There were,
couldn't
see
them. They said seven cars.
Seven cars were on there?
Seven cars. At first, well, you know, 20 cars, and then now all of a sudden it was seven people are missing. And that. So some facts are changing, but we didn't see any cars that, like, literally were right there as the boat crashed into it where they fall to the, you couldn't see any there. So it could have been
that
worse.
Was a close-up shot. Yeah. Shot of it, though. But it was funny how many cars had just gone through when that boat hit it.
Right.
Incredible. I've never seen anything like that. The boat hit it, and the entire bridge collapsed.
Right.
It's incredible. So, Ime last night, talking about Jalen. By the way, your Rockets are just a half a game behind Golden State after yet their ninth straight win. They didn't look good doing it. Fred VanVleet really had a rough night. Dylan Brooks couldn't hit a three to save his life. It was 0-for last night. They were just not. They were 8-for-39, I want to say, from three. It was awful at times. They played terribly. Jock Landale kept them in the game in the first quarter, and then Jalen took over in the second half and looked really, really good again. But when Jalen struggled, Jalen looked like he was forcing it a little bit. Here's Ime talking about Jalen, his first half and second half.
You know, he was kind of forcing a little bit early. I looked a little anxious and then kind of grinded it away, started taking the right shots, making the right plays. And it's not always going to come out, you know, right from the start on fire. And our team was like that in general. But for him to kind of grind through, he had some big rebounds, big defensive plays, and play the right way. It was huge for him to really come out in the second half like that. He was taking the right shots early, forced a few, but with those misses, he stayed confident. He's been scoring at the clip he has. I don't think a bad shooting half is going to deter your confidence as far as that. So, it was in general, I think he's just been really playing really well, obviously. And so tonight, really talked to him about halftime, about letting the game come to him, taking the right shots, not forcing anything, still finding his teammates playing the way he has been, and he got to go in the second half.
I like, you know, it's little things. We probably just shouldn't get too worked up about it, but that's just such a smart, you know, it's just, that's coaching, right? That's just, it's a little thing. It sounds cliche, but letting the game come to him is something Jalen has done. You can sense that Jalen is on a heat check, and he was kind of forcing it in the first half. The shooting obviously was way down yesterday for him, but you could sense in the first half that Jalen really was trying to press the issue because he's used to scoring a bunch of points, and he wanted to get up there again. And letting the game come to him is something that's one of the hardest things for a scorer to do, is let a game come to them. You know, one of the things that Michael Jordan was always crazy is that he would kind of take off the first quarter and let other guys get involved. This is later in his career. He realized, let me get these other guys involved in the game, because he could take over a quarter whenever he wanted. And a lot of times he'd have a very quiet first quarter.
It's so funny. Now, I watched those teams. I was, you know, from Chicago. I was a Bulls fan at the time. He would get the ball into Bill Cartwright and Horace Grant.
Yeah,
two or three. I mean, in the first quarter, the first 5 minutes, those guys always, they had two or three touches down low all the time, because he wanted them to feel like they were involved in the game, and it made them, you know, work harder on the boards, because they knew that they, you know, they were valued enough to get some shots. If you got a rebound all the time, and Dennis Rodman didn't mind it. He didn't mind just getting garbage points, whatever he could get. But those guys wanted to touch the ball a little bit, wanted to have some shots. Michael knew they weren't getting any shots in the fourth quarter. They weren't getting any.
Right.
So he wanted to get them involved early. Jalen, I could see where Jalen would have been frustrated yesterday, because they were bad offensively in the first half. They were bad. And, you know, Fred was... But thank God he had foul trouble, because he had to go sit down. He was throwing up stuff that was air balls, was off the side of the rim. It was awful. Dylan Brooks, his 3-point shot last night was awful. They were awful. And they didn't have Jabari. So Landale had to come in. Landale was the only shining light that they had early on. But, you know, you knew that they were going to come back and win that game. In the middle of Craig Ackerman goes, they have to win this game. They have to win this game. I was like,
But really, they do.
They did have to.
That's like you're at home against a bad team. You got to win it if you're gonna get into the play-in situation.
Yeah, it's fun. It's fun that we're
so much more. I mean, man, isn't it great having games that matter in all sports now? Not just baseball, but football and basketball. Where like you're down the stretch, the last quarter of the season, and you're really into the games. It's great. It's fun. It's the way it's supposed to be.
Yep. This is the way. Well, not the way we've seen it here with most of our teams for the last few years.
No, but I liked in the second half they just started to extend. They extended lead, and then you could see they weren't going to give it up. Defensively, they were going to make sure that nothing happened with that lead, and they were going to be able to put that one away. So another win. This time it comes in a little non-traditional way, at least relatively speaking, of late, where Jalen scored a bunch of points. This time it was Jalen with an inefficient night, and yet the Rockets found another way to win. Got performances from others, and this is kind of what they do. Fred VanVleet has been terrific as of late. He is a guy who, down the road...
Well, not last night.
But I'm talking about as of late, Amen Thompson. You're finding different ways to win. Yesterday was just a collective effort of, let's just finish. It was really, you're playing a bad... Look, you might have lost... You would have lost to a good team yesterday.
Yeah.
You played a bad team and you beat a bad team, but you actually beat them fairly handily. I think you even got... You covered.
Yeah, it was 18, yeah, but it really wasn't an 18-point game. You know who played really well was Jayshon. Jayshon played a really, really good game. He was going to the hole. He was making... He was rebounding. He was very active in his 21 minutes last night. Breaking it here, Keith. Julian, we'll get you in on the other side right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. But right now I'm talking about MyBookie. MyBookie.ag, promo code BET975. It's the place to play your... Okay. The Rockets are playing great. Have you taken advantage of this nine-game streak? The Cougars. Now, listen, they put an unreasonable number on the Cougars last game. That's okay. Don't bet the game if you don't like the number. That's what you do. You love your teams. You want to bet on your teams. You've got all of the NCAA tournament games, the Sweet 16 this weekend, then the Final Four the following weekend. You've got NHL. You've got soccer. I mean, you want to be like Shohei? Yes, everybody wants to be like Shohei. You want to bet on soccer? You can do that at mybookie.ag, promo code BET975. It's the place to play, win, and get paid. Bonuses for signing up. If you put your initial deposit, $200, they'll let you play with $300. If it's $500, they'll let you play with $750. This is what's happening every day at mybookie.ag. You're looking for the best place to play, win, and get paid. Mybookie.ag. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere. MyBookie.
ESPN 97.5.